Speed Secrets, we're back. This is a serendipitous episode. So last week was Marcus's return meet, and I had no intentions of following suit, but yesterday I got peer pressured and ended up running a 400 with the real. I got the bib, spiked up, gun, lane four, no blocks. I was nervous. Yeah. It was a lot. And now it's real life. And I realized, again, we talked about the humility of testing your theories with some real measurable evidence and getting smacked in the face a little bit. And it was for sure that. But I went in wanting that. And so just to give the recap how this happened, because this was not planned. I woke up yesterday with zero anxiety about a race to run. Because like Marcus could tell you, anyone who's run track will tell you, when you know you have a meet coming up, especially a 400, you kind of sit the whole day like a little bit thinking about it, just a little bit. I didn't. So my race was at 8:15 p.m. I didn't think about the race because I didn't know I was racing until about 55 p.m.
Right.
So I got to live my whole day really relaxed. I had about 5 sets of RDLs earlier. I was really not cashing on that.
Yeah.
So I went to support my friend at his meet. They have a little New York City Sprint Collective group, and it was cool. And there was a lot. I walked in, super cool stadium called Icon Stadium. It was a good vibe there. A lot of like fast people have run there. It was cool. And first thing that happened was one, the whole car ride, my friend's like, bro, what if you ran? And I'm like, I'm going to get to that. Because the knee thing I've talked about was a factor. And now I'm training again. I've run one session. And I had this whole plan of how it should lay out, this route to perfection. If I just wait it out and lay certain bricks, then I can be ready for the meet exactly when it matters. And that all went out the window. So my friends were egging me on. Some kid, I guess, follows the Instagram, and he knew who I was. And he like dapped me up and said, hey, you running today? I was like, heck no. And I could see he was like, oh. And I just felt even more fraudulent after Marcus set the standard. And I said, yeah, let me register, whatever. And I'm going to see if I'm going to run an event. You could hop in heats. You seed yourself at the time of the event. It wasn't super serious. I had the BBB, my online back program. I had a call at 7 o'clock for an hour. So I sat in a car in the parking lot on a call, sitting with my legs up in the car, talking about the back. Right. And then I came out. I was planning maybe I'll run a 200 because that was on the lineup. They said, nah, you missed it. My friend says you definitely have to run a 4, though. I was like, let me start warming up. He's like, no, they're already in line. You got to get a heat. So I'm like, oh, my goodness. Mm-hmm. So I walk over. And there, I already missed the seating. So, like, your heat 4, which was like people seated at 63 and 65.
Right. And
I didn't know where I was going to be. I was like, whatever. I did about 2 strides. And I was like, my knee feels good. I'm not warmed up whatsoever. I'm going to just run. And so I'll skip all the storytelling to it. But basically, I went in a down start, haven't even gotten a 3-point stance in over a year. Absolutely zero concern about getting out fast. It's like, I'm gonna just be powerful, use my arms. I'm thinking about episode 1 or episode 2, trying to remember. And I was really shocked at how well it felt for about 200 meters. And then I got beat up. I got really beat up by life. And so running a 400 is pain train always. Like that's just comes with it. But I was completely unprepared in the track sense. I felt really prepared on the mobility and like feeling smooth and being able to really sprint. It was the first time I tried in a year and it was cool. So to test the theory was just, it was a cool thing. But basically there's a few really key takeaways that we're going to talk about in this, but maybe that was a long story short, but I got peer pressured into a race 10 minutes before and it was a lot of fun. I ran a 53.3 and my PR previously when I was trained in college with the beat up body was a 54.7 or something.
Right.
So I took off a whole second plus without really any sprint training, which is super interesting. And exactly. If you look at pictures from the last meet 4 years ago, 4 years ago to now, it's just different bodies. Mm-hmm. The last time I ran, even trained, I had shin splints that wrecked me. I couldn't walk for a week after. My body just wasn't built for sprinting. And so it was fun, man. It was really cool. And it woke me up to really get obsessive. I'm like itching to compete again. And it's real life now. And so 53 is not that great. And I'm not going to use the, I was out of shape or not. But I know what I could do at this point is like, I'm free to compete again. That's the goal. That's mm-hmm. the whole game that we talk about. I'm sure 80% of our listeners probably won't run in a track meet, just to be honest. Like they might be a team sport. They might play baseball or, you know, basketball, want to get faster. So it's a different competition, but just to put your theory to real life is the best feeling. Cause you got to face some fear and be like, all right, mm-hmm. I'm going to get humiliated. I thought I'd run a 60 second right. 400. You can see the video. I ran about a 23.5 first 200 and then a 30 seconds.
Yeah.
And my PR in the 200 is like 23.8. So I probably ran my fastest 200 in my life.
Literally.
And then completely couldn't pick up my legs, running all arms in the last 100.
Right.
Nobody even in the heat, because the next guy was like 58. But anyways, I could talk about it because I'm excited because it's me, but you know.
Absolutely, man. This is good. I have no plans. This is good, right? This is good. And this is what we do, man. This is what we do. We do real life and then share it on the podcast, right? Like, and again, the thing I love that's like, you can't overlook it. Like, cause you're right. Maybe 80% of the people probably won't go run. But what you do got to know is the only thing to measure is what you did last versus what you did yesterday, right? You literally ran a PR and didn't even warm up. How many people can say that? How many people can look at their own performance and measurably see, wow, I used to be there and now I'm here, right? So that's what it's about, man. I'm excited. You know, I love it. And I just think that's how I was going to go, because it's like, do at the end of the day, you think about how me and you came together, right? We came together because there's something bigger than us that we're trying to do. And yet here we are again, both putting the rubber to the road, getting on the track, doing what's necessary and feeling and experiencing it. You know, I was having a conversation. I've been encouraging a lot of my one-on-one clients to do some type of sport. I'm like, hey, listen, like, I know you guys are training with me and I love that. But I was like, but I'm going to tell you something. The thing that drives my training even more is that I'm really running again. So if you have a sport you like, if you got something that you like to do, one of my clients does judo, right? Another one is like considering just going back and playing rec basketball. I'm like, whatever it is. But see, the thing, we got to realize what ATG is doing and what this training with these principles is doing for us is literally restoring us to when we were blank slates as kids and our bodies was healthy so that we could actually go put in the real work towards our real dream. But see, life has beat us down so much that we don't even know what it's like to feel so good that we could actually go put our full energy into something and then just work. Like we're so used to like, okay, I'm going to try to get myself ready, but then I know I got to handle the pain here, the problem here, the fear there. And so in the energy we want to put 100% in it, we don't even trust that because our bodies don't even feel good. You know what I mean? So it's exciting, man. It's exciting. Like, it's just the beginning. We got out there and ran, man. Come on, ain't no cap, man.
I was going to text you right before because I had about 10 minutes where I knew I was going to do it. I was like, nah, I'm not. Honestly, I might tell nobody about this. I didn't know what was going to happen. Let me not text Marcus, tell him I'm about to run. Let me just wait about 10 minutes and see if this is even worth talking about. And honestly, I could have stumbled up and ran a whatever, and I probably still would have talked about it because it's insightful. But yeah, man, like I've lived in that place you talked about of, all right, I want to run. The idea of running a race with no warm-up just wasn't possible.
Come on. It wasn't
possible.
Come on.
I felt my joints like just getting up the stairs before.
Yeah.
And I was hoping, like begging my shins to just feel good today. And I would wrap it and wrap and wrap and like do all this crazy stuff. And that fact of like, I was shocked when I was running. I literally thought, I might tear something. It's not smart to run without a warm-up. We're not saying it. Right. Marcus warmed up well, and he still, with his new athleticism, was like, all right, I'm feeling something.
Yeah, totally. I kind of got
a little blessed by the wind, but, like, it wasn't even possible. And so that feeling compared to now, like, I'm just excited. And now I can think of something I want to run towards versus all the problems we're trying to run away from when most people start training. It's like, well, let me lose this weight and let me get rid of this pain and let me extinguish this problem, which, yeah, that's motivating when you're trying to put out a fire. But even that fire isn't as strong as the childlike excitement to get after a sport, like you said. So if you're training these people and you really start to have them like feel it, like I went and played basketball for 20 minutes and I felt fine. And then they literally start thinking, oh, I could play in a rec league. I could start it. And then they remember they're only 32. Maybe I could really like get good again. And that excitement will carry you so much farther. I can tell you from experience, just my whole perspective changed in 24 hours of this like long drawn out thing I had of like, all right, next spring, I'll finally be ready. And now I'm like, I feel healthier because I'm excited for life. Like I really want, I love this stuff, for real. Because when I've talked about the Olympics, it's not this scientific experiment on myself of like, is it possible for the worst genetics to a little bit, but I just love this shit. Like it's fun for me. It really is. I love going head to head with somebody and going through that, a 400 really. Like I just like the competitive nature of it. And then learning how to sprint is a whole nother venture I'm on because I don't know really how to sprint. Let's be honest.
And that's the exciting part.
Yeah.
No, go ahead. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Yeah. No, I just like it. It's the freedom that we're after. And it's not just specific to track. That's for everybody and everywhere.
You know, that's the exciting part now is because both of us, right? Like we both got to have a great realization. I'm about to end up picking this little man up. He's about to be right here in front of me. We both ended up having a great realization just about how track gets its own now attention in itself. Because see, in the beginning, especially in any of our listeners can identify with this. Like if you have been hurt and you now have had a dream of going after a skill, going after a certain thing, right? Now the challenging part is recognizing, okay, that chapter of like, oh yeah, I'm the hurt athlete, right? Yep. Like that chapter actually closes now, or like I've always dealt with this pain, or I've always dealt with this issue, right? That chapter completely closed. This is real life fathering. I'm telling you, man, ain't no cap with me, bro. I promise you, I'm gonna show it off. But it's like that chapter gets to close completely now. Hey, man. That chapter gets to close completely, and now it becomes, all right, what is the new focus? Because I think what happens oftentimes, and this is what prevents people from consistently taking the small steps. He's like, I ain't giving you no love, but it's about to be left. What's up? You're going to be on camera too. I promise you. I'm going to put you on the camera too. I promise you. But it's like now that perspective ends up, you gonna rock with me? That perspective ends up robbing us from understanding how this thing is literally a big journey. But in the journey, it's easy to start to plant ourselves and say, no, this is where I have to stop. I can't go forward because I've always dealt with this thing. And we get caught in that analysis paralysis phase, you know? Like for me, the thing that made me go run was my own client. I had a new client that started with me and it was the same thing. I had been talking about running and I'm telling him about it. He's like, so you just haven't signed up for a race? Like, and I'm like, you're right. It's that I haven't signed up for a race.
Right.
Why haven't I? Right. And it's like, that's the thing that starts to mess us up when we start talking about going after dreams. It's like, no, the first step is just actually sign up, then show up, then run. Like, but see, the thing was the same thing for you, right? You didn't start the day thinking you're going to run, but you went to the race. Oftentimes it's about us just literally showing up, right? But sometimes we don't even give ourselves the opportunity to show up. So then we miss it.
Right.
We miss it, man.
We're planning our dreams. And we don't only plan the dream, we plan when we're gonna start the pursuit of the dream.
Right.
Which is ironic.
That far.
Right. Like I'm gonna become a big YouTuber and let me plan the first 10 videos before I make one. like, right. What world does that work, right? Like,
right.
And
right.
But we all do it, obviously. I mean, look at us. We're right. talking about it. And so,
exactly.
You know, you're holding a beautiful example of, like, I don't think he's procrastinated a day of his life. Mason's been putting in training every day, figuring this thing out. Because right. he just up. Can't. He can't
come on.
Decide to not. And we start right. to lose that. We start to get so yeah. much agency and so much decision-making power that we just go against our own best interests, and it's tough.
Mm-hmm.
Especially mm-hmm. with the pain, though, because pain is real. There was so many times I wanted to run because I love it.
Right, exactly.
That even it just becomes almost habitual, a personality. And my friends have heard the whole thing so many times. They know, oh, yeah, the back of your knee, right. when you're ready. Yeah, we don't really care. Like, I just, right. Right? Like,
and it's real.
And then after the 400, 45 like seconds after, no, nah, I'm exaggerating, 5 minutes after the 400, right. I got pulled into right. a 4x1. So I also ran a 4x1 anchor leg. And,
right.
like I said, this wasn't a serious meet, it was a mixed relay. So, I was the only relay team with two girls on the team. So I got the baton. Seeing the back of jerseys already. That is what it
yeah,
is.
Yeah.
There's
yeah,
nothing
yeah.
wrong with that. But if it was, if I was right there with my friend anchor leg, and if it was close, then I wouldn't have been thinking about my bad knee. It would have been fun
exactly.
time to be a competitor and just enjoy what we've been training for. And so that's the mindset part of it, you know, and there's a lot of realizations I see on the training stuff though, too, which we can talk about. I'm really paying attention to where am I sore right now. And how did I feel walking off the track? Because I can tell you 4 years ago, my last track meet before ATG training, how I felt after was terrible. My lower legs felt like they were snapped. And my feet, my arches were sore for a week. I just couldn't walk from the knee down.
Mm-hmm.
And today, feel nothing in my legs, lower legs. My calves are great. My feet are fine. The only things that are sore are kind of what you would expect to be sore from sprinting. The top of my right. thigh, that rectus femoris, right. the hip flexor, yeah. toast. Yeah. Crazy. My yeah. abs, like, especially mm-hmm. on the sides,
mm-hmm.
crazy, crazy sore. I could see footage. I've talked about in the past on the episodes that my coach would always yell at me for, like, being tight in my hips and running stiff.
Right. Right.
It's not the best footage, but me down on the back stretch, I can't even recognize me running with the stride right, I'm right, able right. to open up into.
Right.
And I can exactly. tell you immediately, ATG split squat, guaranteed.
Period.
Simple.
Period.
And it gave me the access to do that, which is why I'm right. sore as heck now in my exactly. hip flexors, which is awesome. You know, so yeah, it just sore in my hip flexors a little bit on the abs. And hamstrings are a tiny bit, but not even that bad. And it's just like, now we get to just focus exactly where training doesn't cover in the gym and start to right. really train sprints. And right. so.
And that's, yeah. Dude, that's the most exciting thing. Cause it's like, think about it, man. Like, and we know this stuff, right? It's like, as a sprinter, we gotta go sprint, right? Like, this is where when people put that on Instagram, and they're like, you want to run faster, then sprint more. This right. is where, yeah, when your body's completely fresh and healthy, that yep. is the solution.
Yeah.
While making sure you're taking care of a healthy body. And this is yep. what I love about working with the younger athletes, is helping them understand, like, yo, let me help you understand something. Like, I'm not giving you anything you don't have. I'm helping you open up what you already have. Right?
Right.
Like this, I'm not planning something that you just, I just, Marcus gave me. No, I didn't give you nothing. Your body can already do this. It just can't do it right now because of this. So let's open that up. Let's fix that. Let's square that away. Let's balance this. Right. And then go put the real work in, because there's no limitation. Right. Like yeah. a shooter, like Steph Curry can make the shots he can make because he shot thousands of shots.
Yeah.
So now for us, man, we get to go actually do the back end work of, like, let's get back to the sprinting, right? Yeah. Let's get back to the real process now. Because the first process was like, let me just get out of pain, right? And yeah. so now we can step away from the pain identity. Now we get to turn this podcast into a, no, here's what we're running. Here's what we're looking at. Here's what we're focusing on our form. Here's what happened with this breakdown. We can start doing race breakdowns, all kind of stuff yeah. for y'all now, right? Why? Because
We got to be someone worth listening to. How could we have a podcast about speed and not be running?
Right.
We're trying to disrupt this whole industry of this idea that you get to talk about things and have a mic and not actually do it like that.
Talk about it.
Like, it's insane. Everybody's beefing up the cinematic production, but nobody is really just letting you know what's really going on and being transparent. That's the last thing they're going to do.
Yeah. And you know why we care is we're not annoyed because of the other people doing that. We're annoyed about the 99% of people on the platforms who are the consumers confused. So like, it is what the noise is, like, unaffected to us. That's not really the annoying part. The annoying part is, like, we just know it's putting people further in the hole and getting them further in pain. And then we're going to have a bigger problem to solve. And so, yeah, man, that stuff has to stop. You know, it just has to be some sort of, like, I think it would really guide people as creators and coaches better to enjoy what they do even more if we held people to the fire of, like, what they want to do, their actions, what they talk about. Because I love talking about speed way more when I'm doing it. I don't really enjoy it when I'm, because what am I'm talking about ideas.
Period.
But none of this stuff is conceptual. We're not talking about, you know, astrophysics. Like, we're not talking about, you know, any of that. We're talking, I mean, this is moving your own human body that we all have.
Literally.
Literally. And seeing what it can do. And so it took us some years to get out of that pain. So that way we could go out and do it. Mm-hmm. And it's still not a flex yet to say, oh, we ran 11, whatever, and a 23, whatever. Yeah. But if you know the full context and story, then, and you're bought into a journey with us, well, I appreciate it. And I hope it empowers you to really be patient and transparent about your story. And so if you know, like, some of you guys might have ran a faster high school time this year than us. And I hope you still can be inspired to realize, like, let me not ever fall down the wrong route of being stunted and being kind of hopeless, you know? And so,
you know, as I'm listening to you, you know, the thing that, and maybe we'll have to do a separate episode on this, because this is a conversation that I kind of find myself having a lot with clients. And it's about, you know, what they appreciate, you know, from what I bring or whatever as a trainer. And a big part of that is, what is the standard that a trainer should have for themselves, right? Like, should a trainer, a coach, should you have to be in your best physical condition and be able to do all the things that you teach? There's a big discrepancy on that amongst coaches. And that's all that, but that leads to that. But that right there is what leads to the illusion of who can do and who knows and where the results are.
Yeah.
Because there's a blurry line about who's has the microphone. And I hope that anybody that's listening to us can just at least be real that, hey, these guys were genuine. Right. And they literally told us their process. They let us into their process. They let us see every aspect so that we can get a real hold of something that will help us, because the whole point of these episodes is for the listener, right? Yeah. We get to share, we get to say it out loud, so we get to live it twice, right? So that's a blessing. But everything we're doing is for the listener, right? To have an insight about what it is that we're talking about and how this stuff works, because it does.
Right. Yeah, bro. And I knew this was gonna happen. I gotta go like that.
No, you're good. Square it up, man. You know, at the end of the day, right? If you can still hear me. At the end of the day, what it comes down to is us stepping out and doing little by little, right? So for me, that's why I love the opportunity that y'all get to see me, man, like with my family, with Brendan, right? As Speed Secrets, what this podcast is, we're talking about speed, we're coaching speed, we're experiencing speed, right? And then going around and rinsing and repeating. Because what else can we do in this life, right? We can only plant the seeds and then hope that they blossom wherever they go, or they grow wherever they grow, right? We're not in control of anything. So we're not trying to be in control of anything that y'all got going on. What it is and what we're trying to do here by running and talking is show that, hey, there's a new way to do things. And it involves full transparency. And it involves humility, right?
Right.
And it involves being truthful.
Yeah.
believe. And that's going to serve.
Right. And we could just give observations as we go. Like, I feel so much better talking about train your hip flexors because my hip flexors are sore as hell right now. Right. Versus if I were a speed coach, but I'm not really running, ever going out and doing the meets, I might right now just say, well, power cleans are the secret exercise of speed, or podium deadlifts or something. But I can tell you right now, my hip flexors are super cooked and I train them hard already. My abs and lateral stuff is super cooked. So when I say right now, train split squat, seated good morning, hip flexor raises, reverse squat, it's not coming from like, this sounds like it makes sense in a textbook. Directly let me feel my knees come up on the back stretch. And then it directly failed on me in the last 100 because I'm still not there yet in the sprints.
Yeah.
And now I'm sore. Yeah. What a great place to get better at. This is just like when the 50-inch jumpers, the crazy jumpers talk about, oh, my VMOs are sore the next day.
Right.
Who would you rather listen to about vertical jump? The guy who jumped yesterday says his knees are so healthy and his VMOs are sore. Or the guy that doesn't jump but tells you to do, like, I don't know, deadlifts or whatever. It's like, I would rather take the clues from the people who know what it's like to fly, the people who know what it's like to sprint. I would rather find it out there because, like, there's something about experiencing it that gives you a different kind of conviction. Because if you base conviction off of, like, knowledge and it's not tested.
Come on, man. Come on.
You got to double down. You have to be, like, you don't get to be humble about it either. Because you know there's no proof, there's no pudding, so you have to be really, really assertive. Like, no, this is because, and it's like, well, maybe not, but I can't say that because I'm already, people already don't know what I could do.
Right.
And so, yeah, man, that's why it's the speed secrets, but not the speed experts podcast. We're just the speed doers. Exactly. And it's not that hard to go out and see what your body can do. If you're healthy enough, you should go sprint.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, I feel like, man, we just finished like a first season of our show, right? Of our podcast. Cause it's like we started this thing with this goal in mind.
Yeah.
And then boom. But see, this is where my faith comes from. Cause look at that, man. I'm like, man, I got pulled into the car to run. Boom. My boy gets pulled in the following week.
Yeah.
So it's about alignment. It's about alignment for me. It's always been that way, man. That's why I don't even really hesitate when I see certain things and I know it's like, nah, dude, what we doing, this is just the beginning.
Yeah.
Because let me tell you something. The beautiful thing about this is we documented and told y'all straight up the times we ran. So when they go down, I don't want to hear no nonsense.
Right.
I don't want to hear it. When it starts saying 10, 49, 48, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. 46, I don't want to hear it because we showed it.
And that's the thing. We're not here excited about the times we're talking about, but it serves a purpose because if you don't show a route, if you don't show the entire journey of it, then it still misses the point. It would kind of suck if first meet was something super hot on the track because then the argument can always be placed that, well, that's your college PR. Of course you could do that.
Come on.
No, bro. Yeah. I'm excited. And we're going to have lots of episodes. We get into the nitty gritty of our training, what things were kind of like, our hunches living out again, just in the actual sprint technique. Mark is going to keep teaching me more. The exercise stuff that we're doing in the actual training and weight room, that'll be talked about a lot more. Definitely a closeout to season one, the theory season.
Yeah.
You know,
right.
We got sick of it ourselves and we're like, all right, we got to stop. And so I'm excited too. It's a liberating feeling. I've been chronically injured from 2015 till last year, this year, really, because that knee thing messed it up. But like, that's about 8 years. From the knees first, then the shin splints, then the low back, and then a sports hernia, this knee. And so I'm not feeling unlucky about it. I now understand I was just completely misled in my training. But to feel free to just push as hard as I can and not fear punishment is so rewarding. And so, yeah, man, it's just the beginning. It's fun.
Exactly.
Exactly. So it'll be a blast to learn how to sprint because I don't know what I was doing out there.
Yeah.
Well, that's the best part. I didn't know what I was doing, but I knew one thing for sure. I thought I was going to get smoked is like everybody, like we've talked about, doing the smacking, doing the jump, the cross. I promise you, I didn't watch any of the heats before me. I sat on the trash can staring at the bleachers. All right, lane four, I got there.
Because
I'm just humbly curious what's about to happen. And it was fun. But now I realize it's not about luck. It's not how was my my warm-up ritual. Did I forget my good socks at home? I wore my friend's size 11 spikes. I'm a size 9. I was in some Gymshark shorts. It was a lot of hot messes that could have threw me in a loop. It doesn't matter, bro. It doesn't matter. Is your body ready on any given day to do athletic stuff? That's the truth. That's the athletic truth. That's what we're trying to demonstrate. So it's not athletic theory group. That's what we got to remember. Man. You know? So, that's it.
The classic on, man.
That's it.
I had to pull it out, man. It's just the beginning. I ain't got nothing. Let me check on this little guy.
Me too, man. Yeah. I'm not going to any track meets to go watch for at least a month. I'll tell you that.
All right.
Because I got some work to do. I'm excited
to
document the journey. But, yeah, we're just going to keep it transparent, keep it real.
Mm-hmm.
So we got to lead by example. We're not going to complain anymore about it either, about other coaches. We're just
going
to do it.
Period.
So, season one in the books. Speed Secrets.
Yeah.
Wrapping it up. All right, bro.
All right. Holla.
Catch you. See ya.